Dr. Z, and we're right here on Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And if there's any topic you're interested in that you've heard us do a show about here on Progressive Radio Network, or even if you have not heard us, because we have a searchable archive, and Dr. Zamperone and I have been doing radio actually since, 1980, a pretty long time. So we have many thousands of shows. And, of course, right here on Progressive Radio Network, I think we have about 250 shows linked right on the Progressive Radio Network archive. And I'd also like you to know that you can join with us through Natural Alternatives, both on ground as well as online. And we meet on ground where we give classes. For instance, this evening, there's an American Herbalist Guild Long Island chapter meeting, which is 100% free and open to all. We'll be taking an herb walk and identifying wild, edible, and medicinal plants in person. And we have a meeting of the American Herbalist Guild, which is open and free to the public every month. So the next one's also on October 19th, and that's something you could always join in with. Also, we have online classes just about every day. For instance, tomorrow we have one called Career Paths in Natural Medicine. Were you ever thinking that perhaps you'd like to pursue a path in terms of your career in natural medicine? Well, we have an all-inclusive class where we talk about natural foods, herbs, homeopathy, and how you can become a practitioner, including a licensed practitioner through many licensing organizations and courses around the country. So we give very specific information on what string to pull to find out about your career path. Also coming up, we have on ground our fall season Chinatown Herb Walk in New York City. This is our 30th year of offering the Chinatown Herb Walk tours twice a year. And September 14th, we're here in 2017, will be the last one for this year. And we spend the entire day in Chinatown visiting Chinese museums, having sacred Chinese tea ceremonies, going underground to visit a Chinese herbal manufacturing facility. You will not find this kind of class anywhere else. It's filling up fast. It always sells out. And so you can find out more about that at naturalnurse.com calendar. And then just scroll down and you'll find a very vast array of classes, including our last edible and medicinal medicine making workshop, which will be on September 30th. And that will be held at Gilberti's Organic Herb Farm in Westport, Connecticut. That's an on-ground class where we get together and not only identify but gather edible and medicinal plants and make them into medicine. And goes on into October, but we'll stop there. You can go to naturalnurse.com/calendar and find out how you can learn more both online and on ground in all kinds of aspects of holistic medicine, herbal medicine, homeopathy, and taking care of yourself, your cells, and your family the natural alternative way. And that brings us to our wonderful guest today, Scylla Whitcott. She is a board-certified classical homeopath with a degree from Arizona State University and a diploma from the 4-year professional program at Northwestern Academy of Homeopathy and a PhD in homeopathy. She is currently an instructor at the Normandale Community College and the author of a wonderful book that I have in my hand right here, which is called There Is a Choice, Homeoprophylaxis. So if you don't know what homeoprophylaxis is, you're going to want to stay tuned because you will know. by the end of our show. And Celia is the executive director of Worldwide Choice, an organization undertaking evidence-based research with using homeopathics and developing immunity with training medically licensed providers to administer this kind of treatment. And some people choose to use this when they're looking into the dangers of vaccinations. So we will be talking about that. She offers individualized homeoprophylaxis programs for adults and children. And Scylla has been a guest lecturer all over the world in France, Scotland, Ireland, Indonesia, and the U.S. and Canada, and also was featured in episode 7 of the marvelous presentation, which you can see online, called The Truth About Vaccines. So thank you so much for joining us today, Scylla.
Thank you, Ellen, for having me. I'm pleased to be here.
Now, I actually reached out to you because one of my clients gave me a heads up about the fact that you are doing this kind of therapy, and I found that it was really interesting because so many people are, you know, a little bit afraid of getting vaccinations, and yet it's becoming more and more difficult from a legal sense to make other choices.
That's correct. And, you know, I've watched over the past decade as the information level has increased for parents. 10 years ago, I just taught a class about vaccine information and talked about the ingredients or talked about the studies that were done independently, not through the industry. And parents were hungry for information, but most of what I was teaching was new to them. And then I watched, you know, maybe 5 years ago when they were familiar with a lot of this information because they had read and done their own research. And most recently, when I teach these classes, some of these parents know as much as I do. They've gone out, they've read the studies, they're teaching me things. So the degree of awareness has increased exponentially over the last decade, mostly due to, you know, the internet, but parents are hungry for information and they want to understand what they're putting into their children's bodies, especially in light of increased recommendations. Because we now, as you know, have 39 different vaccines recommended in the first year of life, which is a big change from when you and I were kids, Ellen. We had maybe 3 or 4 vaccines and that was it for our lifetime.
Yeah, well, that's when you and I were children, which is many decades ago, but that's not what's going on now. And we also did not have the rate of children on the autism spectrum disorder that they have now. And it's amazing that the conventional medical establishment says that that is genetic. How is that possible? Have the human genes completely switched within a couple of decades?
Well, we know that it's not possible because you don't see genetic changes happen that quickly. So it's not just a genetic anomaly. And what's upsetting to me most is young parents today accept that this is normal. And it's not. When we were kids, the autism rate was maybe 1 in 10,000. And I had a nurse in one of my classes a few years ago who was in her 60s, and she said, when I was in training in school, the supervisor came and got us and said, hurry, come look in exam room 3. You're going to see an autistic child, and this may be the only chance you have in your entire career to see this. That's how rare it was. And now it's exponentially increased, and parents just accept that this is normal, and that's so upsetting to me because it's definitely not the natural state of childhood to have learning disabilities, neurological disabilities, sensory integration problems, speech problems. maturation problems, constipation, digestive problems. I mean, it's overwhelming. And some days I leave my office and literally just cry on the way home because these families are so burdened with the kinds of disabilities that we're seeing these days. So that's really what moved me towards looking at what are the alternatives for parents, what choices do they have, basically.
Now, I know one of your projects is working on developing a movie. You have a Kickstarter funding campaign, and we have the link for that on our archive. It's a long thing to read, but people can find out more easily by going to worldwidechoice.org. Would you say that's the best place to go?
That's correct, but even better is realimmunity.org.
Okay.
Because Real Immunity is the name of the film. And the Kickstarter program has actually closed. We hit our goal, which was fabulous. I was over the moon excited, so that we can proceed with some of the post-production costs. And Real Immunity grew out of this notion that we have to do things to create immunity for our children. We have to give them a pill or an injection, or that we don't come packaged with our own immunity. And that is so disturbing to me because it's our gift. Nature imbued us, every cell, with a desire to move forward and progress. And with that in mind, given the right basics, we have the capacity for robust immunity. So Real Immunity is, one, designed to dispel people's fear of natural disease. Natural disease is something I lecture about quite frequently, and what the benefits are and when we can be afraid and when we shouldn't be afraid. So dispelling that fear. Secondly, empowering parents with resources to build natural immunity and support it. And third, one of those resources, among many others, is homeoprophylaxis. We call it HP for short. And within the movie, I interview doctors who are using HP from Japan, Australia, India, Europe, the U.S., because it is being utilized, but we don't hear very much about it in this country. In India, it's actually an option. You can opt to do HP or conventional vaccine, so it's legally sanctioned in India. And I think that people need to know about this and be empowered with this resource, among others. So we also touch on functional medicine, nutrition, Chinese medicine, acupuncture, chiropractic. All of these things are touched on in the film. And most importantly is how to access your intuition so that you can make choices for your family that you feel good about and not have to look outside of yourself for confirmation that you're making the right choices.
And it is becoming very, very difficult. And there's some very good movies. So I know you're going to have this movie coming up called Real Immunity. And then you were also on another pretty big film that came out about vaccinations as well. And I know, what do you mean by that? You were in session and seven in The Truth About Vaccines. Is it has several episodes?
Yes, Ty Bollinger produced The Truth About Vaccines. It was seven separate episodes. Each one was between an hour and 2 hours, jam-packed with super valuable information that was shared by PhDs, MDs, researchers, people who don't have any financial interest at heart. They simply want to educate the public. So the seven episodes were fabulous. In episode seven, he talks about some alternatives to support immunity. And homeoprophylaxis, HP, is one of those resources. I'm in the very beginning of episode seven, and he also interviewed a couple of different doctors who spoke at the last conference that I held in October of 2016 in Florida. And these are two doctors from India who are using HP. One of them has done quite a bit of research. Another one works for the state. He is a government employee, and they employ HP with the citizens. So they were two great interviews from Dr. Rafiq and Dr. Gadugu from India, as well as myself talking a little bit about a study done in Australia and just basically what HP is.
Now, also, there's another widely discussed movie called Vax, V-A-X-X-E-D, that actually was made by very sort of well-recognized stars, including Robert De Niro, and they actually stopped the ability for it to be played at the Tribeca Film Festival because of it being considered very controversial. It's called Vax, From Cover-Up to Catastrophe.
That's correct, Ellen. And the producer is Del Bigtree. And Del was a producer on a show called The Doctors, which was a show where they interviewed doctors about health topics. And he met Andrew Wakefield. And Dr. Wakefield is a very controversial figure whom some people vilify as the father of the anti-vaccine movement, and others revere as someone who really has the welfare of children at heart. So each person needs to make their own decision about Dr. Wakefield. I've known him personally for a number of years. I have tremendous respect for him. He's a man filled with integrity and honor. I've also interviewed him for the Real Immunity movie. So he's got some wonderful things to say in the film. But the Vaxxed film is basically about the fraud that took place within the CDC when they did a study on the MMR vaccine. And they proceeded to manipulate the data over many, many years to get the end result they were seeking. And the reality is the data showed that there's over a 300% increase in autism spectrum disorders in Afro-American males who were given the MMR vaccine prior to the age of 3. It's pretty devastating, Ellen. And I remember in, I think it was 2014, when the whistleblower from the CDC actually revealed this information. He couldn't live with his conscience any longer, revealed the information and turned over thousands of documents that he had saved that had been destroyed within the CDC. So he turned those over to Congressman Posey and wanted to have a congressional hearing. And I saw it come out on the news. I think it was on CNN. And within 24 hours, it was blacked out. It was not on any news outlet whatsoever after that. No one could hear about it. And this is what the movie's about, basically. It's just about the discovery of this, the whistleblower's testimony about it, and then some supporting evidence. So I highly recommend the movie. It's well done. Andrew Wakefield directed it. He is not the main character in it. He's not the star of it. There have been accusations that it's all about Andy Wakefield or that it's an anti-vaccine movie. These things are blatantly untrue. It's not about Andy, and it's not an anti-vaccine film. It's about the whistleblower. So I highly recommend people taking the opportunity to see it. I think it might even be available on Netflix or Amazon.
Yeah, it's definitely easy to find. That's V-A-X-X-E-D. And we're talking today with guest Sela Watkot. She is the author of There Is a Choice, Homeoprophylaxis, a book you will want to get. And as she calls it, an appeal to mothers, and I would say fathers as well, because they're certainly in their children's health and wellness. So there's a couple of issues here, Sela. One, of course, is, as we talked about in VAX, there's a really huge political connection to the ability of people to have a choice in terms of if they feel vaccination is wonderful for their children and they want to get it, please be my guest. I do need to share here that my own children, who are now 42 and 40, they're not little ones. In fact, I have grandchildren, were never vaccinated because that's how long ago I was looking into the risk-benefit ratio of vaccinations. And well, I made the decision as a young mother 40 years ago not to vaccinate my children. And I have to say, obviously, that a lot of the literature also finds that children that were not vaccinated have a much higher level of immunity, going into your topic now, realimmunity.org, to where, yes, they get childhood illnesses, but they're able to fight it off, and they have a much lower incidence of some of these spectacularly off-the-wall incidences of things like learning disability, digestive dysfunction, allergies, the long list that you gave us right at the beginning. So there is more and more data about the fact that it may be a more prudent health decision to not vaccinate, but simultaneously there is a massive movement, and by the way, this is not only national, this is international, in terms of making it illegal not to vaccinate. And definitely not attending public school if you're not vaccinated. So there's several issues here.
That's correct. You've touched on a lot of issues, Ellen, and it's become extremely polarized. So the bottom line is we have freedom of choice over our body. That's a God-given right. The Nuremberg trials showed us that you can't force people to do medical interventions. And in light of that, you know, I really choose to stay out of the polarization. Early in my career, when I was trying to impart information about vaccines, I did so. But at this point in time, I really want to diverge from the polarization and focus on What are the choices? How can we build immunity? And what are good options? And then let people do their own research and choose, because we all have choices, and that's one thing that we want to maintain politically. So I urge parents to do their due diligence, contact your legislators, whatever you need to do to maintain your rights. But again, I tend to stay away from jumping on that bandwagon of polarization, because whenever we say this is good and this is bad, it doesn't lead to a good place. And when we focus on things, they become bigger. So my choice is to focus on what works, what can be an option. And HP is definitely an option. There is no method of immunization that's 100% effective. None.
Well, so hold that thought. We're going to take a little break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And when we come back, we're going to go into an in-depth explanation about what is HP, homeoprophylaxis, and how you can find out more about supporting your own immunity for yourself, your cells, and your family. We will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of the Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the folklore, history, chemistry, and medicinal applications of the common kitchen herb, thyme.
The common culinary spice known botanically as Thymus vulgaris is only one member of a large genera which includes over 400 species and even more varieties. The Thymus genera is originally native to the Mediterranean region and is a perennial plant which grows wild in usually dry, sandy soil, green heaths, and grasslands. Thyme is a prolific, fragrant, creeping ground cover and often displays an attractive spray of flowering branchlets spanning the spectrum from white to violet.
There is considerable debate amongst historians as to the origin of the name thyme. Some believe it to be from the Greek thymen, meaning to fumigate or to burn a sacrifice, because it was used as a sweet-smelling incense and also to keep pests and venomous creatures away from the Greek home. Others believe it came from the Greek thumos, meaning courage or energy, perhaps because it has a reputation of being used by Greek warriors for courage and was bathed in and used as a beverage for invigoration. The Egyptians used an herb called tham, which we believe is thymus vulgaris, to mummify their dead. The principal chemical constituents of thyme are the volatile oils consisting of phenol, thymol, and carvacrol. A 1977 article in the scientific journal Chemical Abstracts revealed that thymol's antimicrobial activity is 18 times more powerful than phenol. Phenol is a major antiseptic used in commercial germicidal cleaners like Lysol. Thymol is one of the most potent antimicrobial substances known and far surpasses even the strongest antibiotics. It has been illustrated in the Journal of Chemistry and in the Merck Index of Drugs and Chemicals to destroy parasites, worms, fungi, bacteria, mosquito larvae, and many viruses.
The pharmaceutical and cosmetic industry is privy to the important medicinal effects of oil of thymus vulgaris. It is ubiquitously found in gargles, cough drops, vapor rubs, and many mouthwashes. Oil of thyme is to be used, albeit very sparingly because of its potency, as a gargle or mouthwash for sore throats and inflamed gums. Because the volatile oil is expelled via the lungs and kidneys, naturopathic physicians use it for upper respiratory infections and urinary tract infections. If you're in the midst of a cold and are lying in bed with too much thyme on your hands, try making a thyme tea made with just a few teaspoons of thyme to a cup of boiling water. It's an excellent diaphoretic because it causes the body to perspire profusely. Thyme also possesses an excellent carminative and antispasmodic effect, helping in poor digestion, flatulence, and intestinal gripe.
So, listeners, if you're feeling ill, thyme heals all wounds. Remember to reach for that thyme in a bottle the next time you open up the Natural Medicine Chest.
And welcome back once again to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Today we are discussing with Dr. Scylla Whatcott her book, There Is a Choice, Homeoprophylaxis, an appeal to mothers, and I have to say, and fathers, about choosing how to support your children's immunity. And the best website to visit is realimmunity.org, where you actually have a lovely little video already posted, Scylla.
Oh, that's right, Ellen. It's the trailer to the film.
That's great. And now you know that you've moved forward in terms of obtaining funding to finish creating it, so people will have it available.
That's correct. Yeah, we're setting up some websites right now to collect emails for people who would like to see it, and you know, just a number of different things being put into place in preparation.
Now, let's talk about what led you onto this path. You have been a homeopath for many, many years.
So, interestingly, my children led me to this. I have four children, and one is our biological child, and the other three are adopted from China, Russia, and Taiwan. And when they were young, they all had issues, asthma, migraines, kidney disease. And I went to a pediatrician who was wise enough to say, you should try homeopathy. So she sent me to a homeopath for the asthma, and my son's asthma was gone in 6 months. So then I took my child with migraines gone, and my daughter with kidney reflux, which I never anticipated being gone with something as gentle and natural as homeopathy, but she never had another kidney infection after starting homeopathy. So I started to seriously look at going back to school and studying homeopathy. And my mother, who had died when I was 16, came to me in a dream and said, this is the perfect fit for you. This is what you should be doing. So I went back to school, 4 years of homeopathic medical school, 2 years of clinic, fell in love with homeopathy, really resonated with the message about health and healing. And within the field of homeopathy, bumped into homeoprophylaxis by a colleague who had met Dr. Isaac Golden, who did a 15-year study with HP in Australia. And she and I proceeded to co-author the first book called The Solution and do some work with a nonprofit, form a nonprofit organization to move things forward. And I just realized that homeoprophylaxis was the answer. It provided parents a choice, basically, and it was a safe choice. It was, the studies consistently show about a 90% effectiveness, and there's virtually zero injury, no deaths, damage from homeoprophylaxis, so it's very safe. And as I mentioned earlier, nothing's 100% effective, but HP educates the immune system, so when it comes in contact with a disease in nature, it's able to either repel the disease or mount an appropriate immune response.
Now, you know, you, like you said, you used this on your own children, and they did very well. I have to say mine certainly did as well. And what exactly is homeoprophylaxis versus homeopathy in general?
Right. So let me start with homeopathy. It's based on the principle of like treating like. For instance, if you're stung by a bee and you have a hot, painful, inflamed spot on your skin, and you take a homeopathically prepared bee venom, which is called Apis mellifica, your system will recognize that and reduce the pathology. So that's how homeopathy works, like treating like, and minimum dose, so that the bee venom is diluted, diluted, diluted serially until there's no molecules of the original substance. So really, it's a frequency, it's a form of energy medicine, it's information that you're downloading to the system in order to recognize that offending agent, and then the body makes the changes to heal itself. A subset is homeoprophylaxis, whereby we start with the disease agent itself, or sometimes an animal, mineral, or vegetable product, dilute it so there's no molecules of the original substance, and then in that solution it's placed on sugar pellets. The sugar pellets are given by mouth so that they touch mucous membrane, just like natural disease comes into the system, and it familiarizes the individual with that disease prior to encountering the disease. So this is what's different from classical homeopathy, because classical homeopathy says you wait until you see the pathology, then you match something to it. Homeoprophylaxis says you can do this prior to encountering the disease and thus build the immunity or prepare the body so that it can mount the appropriate immune response.
So in that way, it's actually very similar to the concept of regular vaccinations, because regular vaccinations are given not when you get the illness, but ahead of time to alert your immune system to be on guard in case you become exposed to this, that it has the antibody response.
Correct. That's the similarity between vaccines and homeoprophylaxis. And I'll tell you now what is dissimilar between the two.
Great.
HP is given by mouth, not by needle. So nature confers disease through mucous membrane. We breathe in, we eat something, it touches mucous membrane. So it's a natural way because that's where our immune system begins. So that's the first difference. The second difference is there are no additives or excipients. There's no antibiotics. There's no adjuvants, and we can talk a little more about what an adjuvant is. There are no excipients of any kind, preservatives. We now in vaccines, something called polysorbate 80 is used that opens up the blood-brain barrier so that everything can be delivered directly to the central nervous system. None of that exists in HP. The only thing in it is information. And then it's anointed onto sugar pellets, so it's a lactose-sucrose pellet, and that's it. There's nothing else in it. Another big difference is vaccines need to be grown on mediums to attenuate or weaken the original pathogen. So those mediums might be monkey's kidneys, they might be porcine tissue from pigs, might be eggs, might be human fetal tissue. So when something's grown on a medium that also contains its own DNA and perhaps unknown viruses, then you are taking that into your body when you receive a vaccine. And we do not know the long-term effects of those foreign cells, DNA, or viruses. HP involves no other mediums. It's simply a diluted solution until there's no molecules. It's information. So those,
different. Beautifully. I want to remind our listeners that you are listening to author and homeopath Scilla Whatcott, W-H-A-T-C-O-T-T, about her book, There Is a Choice, Homeoprophylaxis. And what you've been talking about here, you point out beautifully in your book about some of the excipients and additives, such as monosodium glutamate, polysorbate 80, formaldehyde, thimerosal, which of course has a lot of mercury, EDTA, antibiotics, and foreign proteins. And you have this entire book so beautifully referenced, and that list is right from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Vaccine excipient and media summary. So these are not something that you made up. You actually have researched this information.
Right, and thank you for that, Ellen. You know, I tell parents who are just starting their journey, go to the CDC site and look at that list that I have in the book, the excipient list, and then dig into those individual components a little bit and see what does formaldehyde do in the body, or, you know, it's termed carcinogenic. So, you know, just look into it that far. Or, you know, I try to help parents just crack the door. The information is overwhelming, and the polarization of this is right, this is wrong, back and forth, is deafening for people. It's very difficult. So I try to hold people's hand a little bit and help them to just crack the door, get a little bit of information, see how that feels when you digest that information, and then know what next step you want to take for information.
Well, what I find is that many parents who do begin this journey, they go through phases. Just like with grief, people have, you know, very identifiable phases of their reaction. Mm-hmm. And I would say one of the first reactions is disbelief, but they keep mm-hmm. looking. And then anger.
Right.
They get very angry to think that their children, you know, may be influenced by some of these very toxic
right.
compounds.
Well, let me interject this, Ellen, because if we look at the scale of consciousness and awareness, you know, my deepest belief is that as a species, a human species, we are raising our level of awareness. And a lower level of awareness is anger. So first, we don't know anything about the topic, so we find out, and we're disbelieving. No, that can't be true. Obviously, that can't be true. That's not what I've been told. So there's disbelief. Then the awareness starts to open up, and we have anger. That's a very low level of consciousness, but it's necessary because it gets you moving, and it moves you forward to take some action. And as you go up that scale of awareness, The highest level of awareness is love and acceptance. That's the highest level. So we may feel angry, but let that anger motivate you to get more information, be more aware, and know the choices you need to make, because every choice that you're making for your family is out of love. And no choice is wrong when it's made out of love. We make mistakes, but we don't make wrong choices. They just lead us to the next choice if it's something that we want to change. So that was my motivation in writing the book, that I want to empower parents. I don't want to simply get people upset or angry. I want to empower them and give them some resources. And that's also the goal of the film.
Well, I think this book certainly does that, because you're looking at well-recognized research. And, you know, it's not just you saying it or quoting your last book. You're actually looking at government resources and lots of studies. Now, it was very fascinating that you said in other countries such as India, people can choose homeoprophylaxis as instead of conventional vaccination, and that's with legal recognition.
That's correct. Yeah, and it was so exciting for me to hear the two Indian doctors that spoke at my last conference, because the government supports this, and they talked about when there's an outbreak of something, a tropical disease like chikungunya, dengue fever, or something like a common childhood disease, maybe chickenpox, they post public notices in places, come get your HP, and people line up and go get their dose of HP. So it's really accepted, and it's gentle, it's easy. Children aren't afraid of needles. You know, Dr. Rafiq was telling me that the kids run when they come in with and bring vaccines to the school system or public places. The children run and they have to chase them. So it's really encouraging to hear how they're employing it in India, and also some of the studies coming out of India. Dr. Gadugu talked about Japanese encephalitis, which is mosquito-borne, very high incidence, and they brought the incidence down to zero in India. Amazing, really amazing. So that information isn't in the book, because it was written before I met and spoke with Dr. Gadugu, but there are some other places where I think there was an article in the Weston A. Price Foundation Nourishing Traditions where I talk about the India studies. So it's more recently in there.
So the studies they're doing in India are looking at, let's say, the effectiveness of HP?
Right. They're doing epidemiological studies where they're utilizing it and then, you know, seeing the incidence of disease go down, but they're also doing lab studies where they're going into the lab and actually trying to understand the mechanism of action for these remedies. So that's really groundbreaking work that's coming out of India.
And I would imagine, I definitely will look at the studies myself, I would imagine perhaps the mechanism of action is what your entire focus is about, which is in establishing a more active natural immunity.
Correct, because, you know, so many parents ask me about production of antibodies, and this is the goal of vaccines, and the goal is successful for the most part. Vaccines produce antibodies. The issue is, and this is supported by Tatiana Obukhanich, the Ukrainian, she's an American now, but her heritage is the Ukraine, and she talks about immunity quite a bit in her talks. She's in the movie as well. But there are high responders, there are low responders, and there are non-responders. So for a non-responder, you can give a vaccine multiple times, and they're not going to produce antibodies. Whereas a high responder will produce multiple antibodies. Additionally, those antibodies don't last lifelong, and you don't give them to your offspring. When you nurse, you're not giving those artificial antibodies to your children, whereas if you have natural disease, you impart that to your children. So the whole topic of antibodies, there's some holes in it. And I think that even amongst the immunological community, there's a difference of opinion about antibody production and the two arms of the immune system, what really provides us with long-term immunity. So back to HP. HP does not provide antibodies. That's what we share with people, though in some cases people have gotten titers and seen antibodies. We don't, promise that at all. And Dr. Gustavo Bracho from Cuba had a huge study with leptospirosis in Cuba. Dr. Bracho then went into a lab with rats, gave them leptospirosis with nothing. They all died. Gave leptospirosis, the disease, with HP, 80% survived, and none of them had antibodies, no antibodies. So we see that we can produce robust immunity without the presence of antibodies.
Well, we'll continue our discussion. We're going to take a little short break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z so that you can hear about other shows that are available here on Progressive Radio Network. And we are talking today with our guest, Scilla Watcott, Dr. Watcott, and her book, There Is a Choice, Homeoprophylaxis, which hopefully you're beginning to understand what that word means. You can find out more about her and her work at realimmunity.org. We will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
This is the Progressive Radio Network, information for the independent mind.
The original personal computer radio show featuring Hank Key and Joe King on all things computing can be heard each Wednesday on the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM, on the Internet at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Tune in each week as we help you with your personal computing.
Keep listening to PRN. Listening to PRN. Listening to PRN. The Progressive Radio Network. The Progressive Radio Network. Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome back to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. You can find out more about joining with us either on ground where we meet up in person. We go outside, gather edible and medicinal plants, and make them into medicine. And we also have lots of other classes, such as a journey into Chinatown coming up. We also take groups to Jamaica. That's the island of Jamaica, where we live with shamanic healers for a week, and you have an in-depth experience. And then we have online classes, I would say just about every day, where you can take classes and workshops that are CE certified. CE certified means that if you are a licensed healthcare provider, such as a nurse, midwife, acupuncturist, licensed massage therapist, nutritionist, you actually get CE broker credits for attending the classes. And if you're not a health professional, you can also attend our classes, both online and on ground, and you can get a certificate of attendance since you don't need CE broker credits. For all of that, check out naturalnurse.com, and you can also find all of our radio shows there as well as at prn.fm. So today we are so happy to be speaking with our guest, Scilla Watcott, PhD. She is the author of There Is a Choice, Homeoprophylaxis. And really good thing to check out is her website, realimmunity.org, where you'll learn a lot about upcoming films and also the other work that she is doing. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Ellen. I'm thrilled to be here.
Now, you did a great job explaining the difference. You're not saying homeoprophylaxis is a vaccination, but you're saying that some parents are choosing to use it. By the way, if parents choose to vaccinate, can they also use this technique as well?
That's a great question, and I have many parents contacting me who want to change lanes. They started out vaccinating and then would like to use HP instead. That's perfectly doable, easy to do. I do not have cases of people using both at the same time. It just doesn't really make sense mentally because, you know, they're either choosing a natural method that contains no additives or they prefer vaccines. So doing both isn't typically done, but changing from one to the other is perfectly possible.
Right. Now, of course, I know you don't want to get into the upstart about the legal issues, but although in India you can make a choice, mm-hmm. in the U.S. you cannot make a choice legally. You can't say you're going to have homeoprophylaxis and have that accepted by your local school district.
Right. But in 17 states, you have a philosophical exemption. So all you have to do is sign a paper saying that you're exempting from vaccines. There are only three states where you need a medical exemption. Every other state does have a religious exemption, so that's very possible to obtain. The three states where you must have a medical exemption are now California, most recently, West Virginia, and Mississippi. And other than that,
New Jersey is totally, you must have vaccinations to get into school.
Well, they do have a religious exemption in New Jersey. Whether or not the religious exemptions in some states are very difficult to obtain. They grill you. They're more difficult. In other states, they're easier. I know that in Georgia, it's fairly easy to get a religious exemption. So it depends. There's some variables, nuances with each state.
Right. And they are changing rapidly, as you pointed out.
Yeah, they're trying to. So that's where it's important for parents to speak up.
In terms of their child's immune system, they may choose to use homeoprophylaxis. How is it done?
How is it done? Basically, the administration is with tiny pellets monthly, which is very, very easy. Through worldwidechoice.org, I do offer programs. So it's a complete supportive program where the family receives a kit with 8 diseases. They receive a booklet to keep records. They receive a instructional session, either by Skype or in person, depending on where they're located, and then support within the program for the duration, which is about 3 years. And that support is anything having to do with HP. They just reach out and, you know, receive answers and support. So that is an actual program that's available through Worldwide Choice.
So Worldwide Choice is another website that you have other than the movie, which is realimmunity.org.
That's correct.
Yeah, I saw Worldwide Choice. You have really beautiful websites, very easy to navigate and nicely laid out.
Thank you. Yeah, Worldwide Choice is designed to educate parents and just give them some information about HP and see some of the studies that are listed on there, and then they can reach out. There's nothing for sale on the site itself. They just need to reach out and sign up for the newsletter, and then they can, get more information about the programs themselves, ask questions, whatever they need.
That's excellent that you provide that option. And so people can feel like they're doing something. It's not just vaccinate with the normal conventional vaccines or nothing. You could choose homeoprophylaxis as a means of supporting your child's natural immunity.
Right. And Ellen, what I see parents needing most is that support and encouragement to empower them to care for their children. They can do it, and they receive very little support from the medical community sometimes. They're just told there's
very
a right way
support.
And a wrong way.
That's the statement. I know around here, most pediatricians will dismiss you from their practice.
Right.
If don't go along with the vaccination protocol.
And this is tragic. So my goal is really to provide that empowerment and support for parents so they can make choices on their own.
And we have been able to work with some pediatricians who are willing to at least modify the schedule instead of doing so many at once. You
right.
know, sometimes they'll give parents a break and allow them to have one vaccination and another one several months later. But it's a real difficult situation, and that's because the physicians are also being pressured.
Correct. They're under a great deal of pressure. So lack of education, financial pressures, and fear are the three generators. They're driving the bus for the vaccine campaign. So I'm hoping with the Real Immunity film, I can dispel some of the fear. That's essential.
Right. And then one of the wonderful things that you talk about also are the studies. And I imagine you're updating the studies as they come out.
Yes. There's a good one on meningitis. There's the 15-year study out of Australia from Dr. Golden. There's the leptospirosis study. There's a flu study for influenzinum. So there are some good studies. They're difficult to do because there's no funding for studies. If they're not placebo-controlled double-blind studies that involve pharmaceuticals, there's no profit. So it's very difficult to get funding for a study. And that's my goal as well, Ellen, that funds garnered from the film can be applied towards more research.
Well, that's great because that's something that we certainly do need. So I'd like you to, we're going to wrap up here. I want to thank you so much for being such an interesting guest about a really fascinating and current important topic, and that is vaccinations and your book, Homeoprophylaxis, An Appeal to Mothers by Scilla Watcott, W-H-A-T-C-O-T-T. So in going off, let's just have a final statement from you and where people can find out more.
Sure. So my final statement would just be, you know, come see the film, read the book if you have an interest, and trust your gut, because your love for your children will guide you in the right decisions. They can find the book on Amazon. There is a choice. They can also look at my website, worldwidechoice.org, or realimmunity.org. They can sign up for the newsletter. They can sign up to be notified when the film comes out. The trailer is there. And I think that's everything, Ellen. I appreciate you having me on the show, and
thank
you very much for a great interview.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in once again to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Please check us out at naturalnurse.com. Until next time, this is your host, Ellen Kamai, Ph.D., RN, The Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay healthy.